Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. This is Joanna. And today we have got our fourth call in the Visioning and Strategizing module. And this call, this is the last call in this module. It's kind of a deepening your skills call plus a kind of catch-all call. So I've got a bunch of additional strategies that around visioning and strategizing that I'm going to share with you today to just deepen all that we've been looking at. And then, you know, we'll have hopefully ample time for Q&A on any topics that you want to bring forward surrounding visioning and strategizing. Before we jump in, I should just mention early this morning, I had some dental work done, and they promised me that I would be all good by our call today, by 1 o'clock. And I think hopefully I sound okay to all of you. I'm still feeling a little bit numb, but if I slur a little bit here and there, it's just because the numbing, the medication is wearing off. So excuse me. The other thing I wanted to mention before we dive in is if you weren't able to make our bonus call on Monday, it was a bonus call with guest faculty teacher Makita Pennycook on diversity and inclusion in your business and in your coaching practice. If you weren't able to listen to it, I highly, highly recommend listening to the recording. It's in your member center, and it was a really great introductory call to issues of diversity and inclusion and privilege and how to really make your coaching practice as nurturing and nourishing as you can for all people. All right. So from there, like I said, this is a little bit of like a catch-all call. So I'm going to be jumping around from, you know, different topics and pieces, but it'll sort of round out everything that we've been looking at around visioning and strategizing. And so first thing I wanted to take a look at is first just a little bit of follow-up from our modeling and demo call last week. So, and again, that's another call. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, I highly, highly recommend. I spent about 45, 50 minutes coaching Kelsey, and then we broke down all of the skills. Kelsey and I did some visioning. We broke down skills. Anyway, what I just wanted to share as follow-up from that, it may have been obvious, but just in case it's not, that session wasn't the end of visioning with Kelsey. So if her and I were, you know, coaching together and working together ongoing one-on-one, we'd probably have a follow-up visioning session to that one on more of the outer vision. We definitely, you know, on that call, as you guys saw, we definitely started getting to more pieces of what her bigger mastermind program would look like, et cetera. A lot of those parts came through, but more is going to be able to come through once she puts those inner pieces that really got revealed in place, and then some of those smaller outer pieces like the delegating. So I just didn't want you to think that that was the end of the visioning there. Sometimes it happens over time. But that being said, I usually like to vision or start to vision as soon as the first session with a client, and hopefully you guys saw the session that Kelsey and I had last week could have easily been a first session, right, in a series of sessions together. And while I'm not big into formulas, I did want to give you just a little bit of a protocol that you can follow for a first client session. And Kelsey and I kind of followed this protocol a little bit. So number one in the session, you'll want to start to define the vision with your client. So using all of the visioning skills that we've been looking at, define the vision. Number two, at some point probably something is going to come in the way of the vision, and we saw that last week as well. So second part of the protocol for that first visioning session, support the client to define the belief or the pattern that's standing in the way of their vision. Third step from there, help the client define the new belief or pattern. And then the fourth step, based on that new belief, help your client articulate two or three foundational activities that will really strengthen the belief. So, for example, in our session last week, towards the end of that session, I was asking and pressing Kelsey a little bit to come up with two or three ways that she could really create more space for herself, because that was really that inner vision we were going towards, which was really also the new belief and patterning. So define vision, step one. Define the belief in the way of the vision, or the pattern in the way of the vision, step two. Step three, define the new belief that they want to step into. And then articulate three foundational activities that will really set the stage based on the new belief or pattern. Not always, but sometimes, my coaching sessions are generally 45 minutes. Not always, but sometimes I will schedule a first session with a client to go a little bit longer than that, 60 minutes, 75 minutes. Sometimes I'll even schedule a first session to go even longer, based on sort of, especially if I'm doing business coaching, if I know we're kind of jumping right into something big. But I just mentioned that because sometimes visioning can take a little bit longer. I don't know how each of you have your own session time. Probably somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour is my guess. But it is nice to kind of sometimes leave a little bit more space for that first session. All right, let me pause there. Any questions on anything I just shared, or any follow-up remarks from last week, things that have come through since we had our call last week, takeaways, anything around that before we move on to the next piece here, star two. All right, great. So from there, I wanted to talk about visioning and strategizing and values. We had a really great question come up in the Facebook group, asking me to kind of go a little bit deeper into how values play a role in the visioning process, and how can we as coaches really use this idea of values? So when you're visioning with your client, the vision, as we looked at, should always be based on your client's desires. You also want it to be based on their values. So I want to repeat something that I said a couple of calls ago when we were looking at visioning, and then we're going to take this deeper. You heard this from me before, but I think it's worthwhile to share it again. If we don't define values, needs, and priorities with our clients, then our clients' lives are misaligned from their hearts and what's true for them, and instead based on other people's or on society's values. So when we don't define values, then the goals, the visions, life becomes misaligned. And that's when sleepwalking comes in. And that's when overwhelm comes in. And that's when disengagement comes in. So what does this mean practically for you when you're coaching? Well, let me first share some examples of when a vision gets created without paying attention to values and needs, just so you can really get more clear on what I'm talking about here. And before I do this, before I give you examples, let me just say this. For some of you, you might feel like there's a definite difference between values and needs. And then for others, you might feel like those two concepts dovetail each other a bit. For me, values and needs are a little bit different, but they're a little bit the same. To prepare for this class, I actually looked up in the dictionary, and it feels like there can be a lot of crossover between the two. What's less important than what I think is less important than, you know, being clear on what category something goes in, like is freedom a value or a need, or is integrity a value or a need, or is spaciousness a value or a need. I think it's not so important to categorize it. What's more important is that you're able to help your clients identify what the values and the needs are. Okay, so that being said, here's some examples of when a vision gets created without paying attention to values and needs. Let's say you're working with a client who is in her early 40s and you're working together on creating a romantic relationship. She wants a long-term romantic relationship. When you're visioning together and strategizing together, if you don't take the time to help her articulate her values and her needs, then you might overlook the fact that for her, having a child and becoming a mother is a top need or a top value. And if you've overlooked this, if you haven't brought this into the coaching work, then you may not end up making this an important part of the strategy. In other words, when you're strategizing on how to help her find this incredible new romantic relationship, it's not just about finding a partner, but about finding a partner who desires children or who desires more children. And then if you don't do this, your client is going to end up wasting a lot of time on potential partners who don't fit this value or this need for her. Here's another example. Let's say you're working with a client on their business vision and strategy, and you haven't discussed values. And so because you haven't explored or discussed values, you haven't learned, and maybe your client doesn't even yet know this about herself, that novelty and new things and being a pioneer are really important to her. Well, without this value, without this little but this very important piece of information, you may end up creating a vision and a strategy that's based on what's really worked well for her in the past. And, of course, you always want to bring what's worked well in the past into the future. But if you don't bring anything novel into it, anything new into it, that vision and that strategy is going to eventually feel stale and boring or unfulfilling for your client. Here's one more example. Let's say you're working with a client, visioning and strategizing on a job search. Your client is looking for a new job. If you don't know that teamwork and collaboration is a value that's important to this client, then it might get overlooked in the job search and they may end up in a job that isn't right for them, or it gets overlooked in the job search and they don't end up getting a job because usually our strengths are related to our values and needs, right? Because they're not fitting in with the jobs that they're applying to. Recently, my husband and I worked with a new financial advisor, and one of the things that this financial advisor did, and this is something that no one had ever asked us before, but the advisor asked us about our values when it comes to investing. So not only if we're risk-averse or not, which is a great question to ask, but this guy also asked about issues that are important to us, about gun control, about environment, about drugs, you know, et cetera. There's a whole long list of things. And it just felt so good to me. It was amazing to know that he was helping us strategize where to move our money in a smart way, but also move it to places that are really based on our values and our needs. It made me even more excited to shuffle things around. Okay, so hopefully from the examples that I gave, you can see what an important part that values play in both the visioning process as well as in the strategizing process. So then how do you work this into your coaching? Well, there's lots of different ways. So one way, for example, I provided kind of a handout questionnaire when we had our first visioning call. It was kind of a questionnaire of lots of different values around workplace. I use that just as an example, but you can ask questions in your welcome packet, or when it comes time to visioning, you can have a questionnaire that has lots of different values and your client rates them and all of that. But you don't need a questionnaire. I just want to be really clear on that. You can totally figure it out in the coaching session itself. And here are some things that you can ask that will help get into it. Just number one, straight up, what are your most important values when it comes to this project? Or what are your most important values in general? Another question you can ask is, you know, as we take a look at this project, you know, whatever it is that you're visioning and strategizing, what are some non-negotiables for you around this? I really love that question. That usually yields a lot of important information. What are some non-negotiables for you around this? Here's another thing that you can ask. If you had one core need or one core value around this vision that we're looking at together, what would it be, right? What's the core need or the core value? Another way to get into it, a little bit of a back way, the questions that I just asked were all like very direct, but if a client has trouble answering directly, if it's not higher up to the surface for them, you can kind of go through the back. And so a way to do that is to ask, what did you learn about yourself and what's important to you and who you are the last time you did this, right? What have you learned about yourself and what's important to you in the past about this? Another question along, kind of going in this less direct way, but can maybe sometimes get a little deeper, is what do you know you don't want as you work towards this? The don't want question can sometimes be more powerful than the what do you want question, because people can get pretty clear on what they don't want pretty quickly. And then, you know, the other way to work this into your coaching is that the more experience that you get visioning and strategizing around a particular topic, the more you'll know to look for certain things, the values that can come up around it. So, for example, with me, you know, one thing that I've learned through the years just visioning and strategizing with a lot of individuals around their business is that some people value empire building, big. And some people value more boutique, you know, smaller, more focused, more specialized. So that's one question that, you know, I'll ask or I'll try and ascertain as I'm visioning and strategizing with a client, because that will take a vision in one direction or another. Another thing that I've just come to learn from, you know, working with people is that in general, most of the clients that come to me, one of their values is thought leadership, is bringing their own ideas to the table and to their work and to the business, as opposed to working off of somebody else's model. But that's, you know, that's something that we explore together. And, you know, that's why in my trainings, like in this training and in the facilitator training, I never teach, like one way to do it. Like this is, you know, this is the X technique, but I give all the building blocks so that you can take your own content and create your own techniques around it. All right, so let me pause there. Any questions that anybody has on values and needs when it comes to visioning? Star two. Dana.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, hi. Sorry, it's the first time I'm using my computer to call in, so I'm just figuring it out. So I guess I have a question. Is there any place where you do work around helping people differentiate, I guess for a lack of a better word, like soul values and needs versus ego values and needs? I'm asking just because I do I Ching reading, like Oracle readings, and I just had a client, and it was an interesting place to dance around like relationship stuff and like what she thinks is a need, but then not being sure, you know, from me listening, like, is that a real soul need or is that an ego need? So is there any, I don't know, is there something you could speak to of that?
Yeah, if I'm, you know, different people define ego in different ways, but if I'm understanding you correctly, I think what you're asking about goes back to what I was talking about in the first training call in this module when we were talking about the difference between desire versus should.
Yes.
And really helping clients differentiate for themselves what is it that they truly desire versus what is it that they think they should create, that's usually based on other people's expectations or society's expectations or their religion's expectations, oftentimes their parents' expectations. And I gave a whole slew of questioning and line of questioning that you can use to help clients differentiate between the two. Is that what you're talking about?
Yep. Yeah, I just use the word ego, but exactly.
Yeah.
Like something that a need that really will bring them happiness versus a need that once they get it, they're like, oh, that's not actually making me feel any better. So, yes, thank you. I'll have to review that.
Yeah, yeah. Go back. I may even have those questions in one of the resource sheets. But if not, I can post them in the group so that they're just typed out there. But I think they're in the resource sheets.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm glad you're asking it, even though we already covered that. It's an important one. It's good to just be aware of it. Anyone else, star two, anything else on values and needs when it comes to visioning and strategizing? All right, so let's continue. What I wanted to talk about next are some advanced skills for articulating vision and building belief and excitement in the vision. So it's one thing to articulate the vision, and then to also build belief. You want to build as the coach. Part of, I think, our job is to help a client articulate a vision that is based on their desires and values and needs, not on their ego. But Sacred Depths coaches actually want to go further than that, and we want to help cultivate real excitement and real belief. And what I mean by belief, and we looked at this in our first visioning call, is you can co-create the best vision in the world with your client. But if your client either isn't excited or if they don't believe that that vision is possible and that they're able to, you know, fulfill it, then it's going to be an uphill battle when it comes to strategizing and working together to help your client execute the strategy. So I want to spend a couple of minutes right now looking a little bit deeper in how to build that belief and excitement, and also how to kind of maybe go a little bit deeper with the vision itself. So the first piece that I want to take a look at around this is, and I think I've mentioned this before, is that with visioning and with so many areas of coaching, you don't only want to activate the intellect. Activating the intellect is very important, definitely want to do that. But when you're coaching, if you can support your client to activate also the heart level, right, the feeling and the emotion, and to activate also the, I call it the spiritual level, but this is not about religion or even about spirituality. When I say the spirit level, I mean activating a connection to something that's bigger than just the self or the ego. So that can be a connection to God. It can be a connection to nature. It can be a connection to higher power or inner wisdom. But when we're connected and our visions are connected to something bigger than we are, then we can cultivate that belief and excitement so much more. When our visions are connected to our emotions, that's when we can cultivate the belief and the excitement more. And then that fourth level is the body, right? Like to really feel it in the body. So, you know, sometimes just discussion alone, which can tend just towards the intellect, also doesn't provide enough permission with creativity when you're visioning, or enough heart and inspiration. So what are some other techniques that you can add on to the discussion itself that are going to help you go deeper and also cultivate the belief, the excitement, give permission for the creativity? Well, one way we already spoke about is vision boards. I think we mentioned this in our first visioning call. Visioning, I love to do vision boards. I try to do a vision board once a year. It can be powerful for clients to do a vision board on just a general what they want for their lives, but also on one single vision, right? So you just to use, again, the example of Kelsey, one thing that she could do is do a vision board just on that longer mastermind program that she wants to run, right? And she could just do a whole vision board just on that. Another technique that can really help move people from their mind and into those other levels of learning and transformation, the heart, the body, the spirit, is journaling. Sometimes when we write, in one way, you know, writing is very intellectual for sure. It activates the intellect, but writing can also activate other areas. And you know, sometimes I'll vision with a client, and then for homework, or I'll give this as pre-homework before we have our actual visioning session. You know, we can do it either way. I'll say something like, if you could just have whatever you want in your business in a year from now, what would it be? Just no hold, you know, holding nothing back. Don't worry about the how. What do you want? And what I'll do is I'll ask them to write about that. And you know, usually the writing assignment is write for 5 or 6, which is a long time, 5 or 6 minutes, write for 5 or 6 minutes straight without stopping, just whatever wants to come through. We can always delete whatever doesn't make sense, you know, cross it out afterwards, but just write. No filter at all on what your heart really desires, right? Or get into the place of your heart space and write from that space. So you can give different kinds of journaling questions. Every now and again, usually journaling I'll give for homework, 9 times out of 10, but I do want to mention that every now and again, if I feel like it will be really valuable, I'll ask someone to journal on the call itself. I'll say, we're just going to take 3 minutes, 4 minutes here, and I want you to just journal really quick on this question. The reason why sometimes I'll do it in a session is, you know, maybe I want to get to that real quick. But the other reason is for holding the space and the container and accountability. Sometimes people have an easier time just doing that free writing when they know that the space is being held for them. So every now and again, I'll do that. But there's also another technique that you can use that will help with all of these pieces that we've been talking about, and that's visualization. You can do a little bit of a visioning visualization. And I thought the best thing to do would be to just do a sample here, do a little bit of a demo with one of you on how you can use visualization to just permission for more creativity, more heart inspiration, belief, excitement, all of that. So I'd love a volunteer who would like to do a little bit of visioning. Just do it for a couple of minutes, maybe 10, hopefully just 10 minutes at most right now. Star 2, who'd like to do some visioning? Star 2, nobody's volunteering? Come on. All right, let's see who this is. I don't know who this is. 3228 are your last numbers.
That's me, Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn, thank you for volunteering.
I thought, okay, I'll brave it.
Thank you for being brave. I'll be gentle, I promise.
Okay.
So what, you know, if there's something in your life that you wanted to vision right now, or move towards right now that you've maybe started to articulate or not, you know, something that's just not fully articulated yet, what would it be?
It would be the program I set forth last year, but I've had a few people come in, but I really want to set that forth and get it running, up and running.
Awesome. Just tell me, you know, obviously because this is it, we're doing this kind of out of context from a full coaching session and coaching work together. Mm-hmm. Just tell me a little bit about the program, like what your current understanding of it is.
My current understanding of the program I'm offering is a body-mind coaching muscle therapy program. So people typically will come in one-on-one with typically an issue, a chronic pain that they've been having. And so we get to the root of what that pain is. And then understand, does that align with their values or they don't? It's interesting you were talking about values, because a lot of times when they're in pain, it's about stress. and that they're not following what they value. They're just focused on, I have to do this because I have to do this, and realizing that that's not matching up. And so the body really produces a tremendous amount of pain. So we walk through that. Then I do get body work to them when they're in here so that they can feel the difference.
Mm-hmm.
When they're speaking to it and the body releases it. And then we work through those pieces. It's a 12-week program.
Okay, and it's one-on-one?
That's one-on-one.
And what was the holdup? You said you had tried last year, but it...
I tried it last year, yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you. Tried it last year. I still am doing it. Haven't gotten really comfortable with articulating. As you can see, I stumble with how do I articulate it very succinctly so that people know. Typically, I already have clients that come in, and when they work with me two or three times, then I introduce them to the program. And most of the ones that I've introduced it to, because they feel like they're the ideal fit, they come in. I'd like to do that more easily.
It sounds like the program, I just want to make sure I'm getting this right, sounds like you're looking for more help with how to get people into it, or is the program itself not fully articulated yet?
I think a little bit of both. It's fully articulated. I've got it all mapped out, did all that last year. But it's really about enrolling people, but also just, I guess, finding the words to just do it. Because people, what do you do? And I'm like, okay, well, here, I stumble through it. And more confidently tell them this is what I do. And at some point, be able to do this a little bit more online. I do have a couple of clients who are remote. And so we're able to do, funny enough, energetic work. We go through and do the work if they're away.
Okay. All right, so it feels like a little bit of visioning, but a little bit of some other strategizing, business coaching, that kind of thing. I'm going to try to,
right.
You know, some of that might come in, but we may not go into those places exactly just for the sake of the demo, but let's see where it goes.
Sure, no, the visioning is great because it's all scrambled all over the place. So that's why I raised my hand. The visioning would be great so I could just turn that baby in.
Awesome. Okay, so take a moment and close your eyes. And just take a couple of breaths, inhaling and exhaling, really connecting in with your body. And connecting in with your body wisdom. And also connecting in with your heart. So take a few breaths. And as you inhale and exhale, send the breath directly to your heart. Directly to your heart space. You can maybe even just for a moment or two put a hand over your heart. You might even be able to feel it beating or not. It's all good. But through the breath and through your hand over your heart space, really connect in with your love. Really connect in with your desire. Really connect in with your inner wisdom, the part of you that knows exactly what is right for you. And as you connect in this way, tell me, what is it that you really desire when it comes to this program? Like if we could get to the core of the core, what is it that you really want for this program?
What I'd really like for this program is to help people get in touch with their pain, what they really desire, and shift it.
Yeah. So really help them get in touch with the pain, what they really desire, and shift it. Good. Mm-hmm. Continue to connect in with your heart and connect in with that deep, deep desire. And see what that looks like. You might see yourself working on a table with clients. You might see some other things, or just see what wants to come up, what comes up.
the first thing that came up was working in small groups.
Tell me more about that.
I'm seeing three or four clients working with me, working them with them in a small group. I see just that working together as a group adds a value because people won't feel like they're alone in their pain.
Yeah, beautiful. So stay with that. Be facilitating and coaching and practicing in that small group with three or four people. See that they're seeing that they're not alone in their pain. And how are they feeling as they recognize that for themselves?
Feeling safe.
Yeah.
Heard.
Yeah.
And relief. I just get filled with relief.
Yeah, so they feel relieved and you feel relieved. Am I getting that right?
Yes.
Nice. Where in your body are you feeling the relief?
All over. Specifically
nice.
My heart, but all over, yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Good. So stick with that vision and be as you really facilitate that beautiful group of three or four. And how else do you feel as you lead this?
What I feel is just more of them connecting with, understanding
mm-hmm.
the pain, and that they're not ignoring it anymore.
And how do you feel in your body?
I feel excited.
Yeah. Yeah, where do you feel that excitement?
In my throat and in my heart.
Yeah, beautiful, good. So continue to stay with that and continue to just look and be in the space. Is there anything else that you see about this program? Anything else that you see? There may not be. We just hit on something big with the groups, but there might be something else for now. What else do you see, if anything?
I do see a little bit of body work, nothing crazy. Because I tend to hit it hard when I hit people's bodies. But it's already shifting, more softer, just more gentle so that it's a perception that they get about the body. So, you know, each of them will get an opportunity to come up and get a feel for what that feels like. The shifting of how that shifts inside.
Yeah, beautiful, good. And just continue to look there for the people that are in the group that aren't getting the body work.
Yeah.
Why is this so valuable for them as they watch others get body work and they're in the room?
I see an aha in their face. I don't even know how to describe it. Just more of, that's how it's connected. More of that. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Good. Continue looking. Is there anything else that you see about this program, either in that room itself or other parts of the program? There may not be, but just continue to look.
I mean, I can see where some would want to do a little more one-on-one and go a little bit deeper afterwards, but I think there's just, I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay, so stick with it. And stick with your body. Just keep on connecting in with your body. And I want you to ask your body and ask your inner wisdom, what does it want you to know about this program and about all that you're seeing around it right now? What does your highest wisdom want you to know about this program?
So now I'm fighting with it. But the answer is you've got everything you need to start.
Why is that important? You've got everything that you need to start.
The program's been set. All I need to do is just step out and be seen.
Yeah. And what would you need to believe in order to step out and allow yourself to be seen in this beautiful program? What would you need to believe?
that I could actually do this.
Yeah. So take a moment and just scan your body and find the place in your body. It might be a big place. It might be an itty-bitty place. Find the place in your body that believes that you can do this. There is a part of you that does. Where do you believe this? Where in your body do you believe in this program and that you can do this?
It's in my gut, my stomach.
Yeah. I noticed.
And in my heart.
Yeah. So continue to breathe into your gut and your heart, into those places that really believe that you can do this. And I may not have been hearing you right, but I feel like your voice just changed a little bit when you found those places. Did I hear that right?
I think so.
Yeah, what's coming up? What's the emotion? What's coming up for you?
I don't even have words for the emotions. Parts of me just want to cry because it's here, and I didn't realize it was here.
Yes. Yes, I just got chills as you said that. Yeah, it is right there. Good. So just continue to breathe into that. And you're allowed to cry. It's good. Good. Anything else that you want to say or share about this?
I think I've just been avoiding it. There are other things going on, and so there's space that's being made to do this now.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. So well done. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you.
So, you know, that was just obviously not a full session, right? There would be more to that session. But just let me ask you, just from the little bit of work that we did, what is it that you're really taking for yourself?
What I'm taking is it's my level of confidence and just, I can do this.
Yeah.
I really can do this.
Yeah, you really can. So I think a great little piece of homework for you would be for, you know, the next week or two to really continue to connect in to your gut and your heart where you really believe that it can be done. You can write from that place letters to yourself. And I would begin to strategize on how to step out. And also add that beautiful group piece that came through to the vision. See how that wants to fit. How does all of that feel?
That actually feels good.
Awesome.
Ooh.
Great. Thank you so much for being our volunteer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So what did you guys learn or see from what I just demonstrated in really just 10, 12 minutes with Carolyn? What coaching pieces do you want to pull out around the visioning? Star two, how did I use the body? How did I use the heart? How did I use the spirit piece? What else did you notice about the visualization? Star two. Guys are quiet today. Did you learn anything? Let me know. What are you seeing? What are you taking away? Awesome, Tina.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry, my voice is, I'm getting over a cold. Sorry if I'm sniffly. What I actually really was able to witness was when you asked her first and foremost to close her eyes. So that's sensory, that's going internal. It's going into her body, temple. And then you kind of dropped her into, said, okay, I want you to connect to your heart. And when we hear that, because I'm a spiritual coach, so I understand this very deeply, but when we connect to the heart energetics, that's our true higher self. That's our God self, that's our soul self. And it's like then you kind of give her the wheel. You let her show you your potential. And so as you shifted her into the energetics of the heart vibration, it took her into a place of less fear and maybe into her greater power of her potential. And then you led her on a series of very great exploratory questions. You know, tell me more about that. Well, how does that feel? Okay, going back into the sensory, right? Like, okay, that's also physical sensory. So it's like a weaving of all of it.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And honestly, I didn't do very much, right? Once I got her into that heart space, I really just asked her, what do you see? And this whole new level of the vision came forward of the groups and the she could see the purpose in it so clearly, right? And then from there, we got into some other pieces. I kept on asking her to feel into her body, to be in that level as well, to feel into her heart, and then using listening skills too, right? So when she said, "Oh, my wisdom is telling me that this is all in place. I got this, but I'm fighting with it," right? That's when I knew to say, "Okay, well, you know, what's standing in your way here?" I forget exactly how I phrased it now. Good.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I have one quick question.
Yeah.
Sometimes clients can't get there. So when we feel a heart block, maybe you want to answer it later, but do we just take them deeper into the physical body and then they are able to access the heart? Because a lot of times there's a block to even get to the heart.
Yeah, that's such a great question. So I think that it depends on so many different things. So it depends on the person themselves,
right?
And then it depends on the context, like what kind of day they're having. And then it also depends on the subject matter, right? And how resistant they are to it. So there's not like a one size fits all, you know, based on all of those things. But one thing, if you sense that they are able to, you know, connect into their heart, but they're just having a block, then one direction you can go in is to ask the question of, well, what would be at risk for you if you were to drop into your heart right now? Because we all have risk managers that are trying to protect us.
Right.
You know, to just first ask the question, like, what would be at risk for you? What are you scared might happen if we drop into the heart space? So that's one possibility. Another possibility is to not focus on the heart, but to ask the client to just tune in to where they're feeling their wisdom is in their body today, like where they're holding most of their inner wisdom. Sometimes that can just be an easier entree in than the heart space. And then another strategy is to keep it at conversation level, but talk about heart, right? So just, what would your heart want here? Or if you were seeing through your heart's eyes, what would it want here, right? So you could keep it on the discussion level, but bring the heart in. So those are different things to play with.
Oh my God, that's brilliant. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Anyone else? Star 2, anything else you want to say about the work that I did with Carolyn? Anything you're seeing for yourself that's important, or any questions that you have for me? All right. Well, there's one other piece I wanted to share with you today. There's another question here. Let me get it. Who is this?
It's Ruth.
Hey, Ruth.
Hi. I just joined with the call, but I've had a question around the actual skill of coaching. I'm a business coach, and I find it quite I find it very difficult, like, getting into the coaching zone, because most times it's like I'm, you know, telling them what to do and, you know, strategies. And so I'm just wondering, like, do you have any tips on how to actually, like, in, integrate the coaching and the consulting part so that everything flows beautifully.
Yeah. It's such an open-ended question. I'll try to give specifics, but I know exactly what you mean, because I think oftentimes in today's industry, people think they mix up coaches with consulting, and they think it's one and the same, and it's not. And then it's really easy then for coaches to be in that just constant consulting mode, which just isn't as helpful because people have blocks, right? So first thing I'll say is you probably came on after the visualization I just did with Carolyn. You may not,
okay.
Your style may not be to do visualization, but we did look at a business piece, and we got to, I think it would just be helpful for you to look at that. So I'll just say,
Okay, all right.
But from there, there's lots of different ways. So, for example, let's say you're working on a strategy with a client. So tell me about a typical type of thing you might be strategizing with a client.
Tomorrow's call, I've got a group of ladies, and we're going to be talking about Facebook groups and how to use it to grow their businesses.
Awesome. So let's say I'm going to take it slightly off topic, but you'll be able to adapt. Let's say you're talking about Facebook in general or social media in general. So you might be giving a strategy. These are the most effective ways to use social media, right? X, Y, Z, whatever those ways are. That's more the consulting. But then from there, you might ask, and again, you're asking more about group than one-on-one. So answering for the group, but for those of you listening, you can see how to adapt this for one-on-one too. From there you might say, okay, great, so that's the strategy, but what I have found is that the strategy is the easy part. Where the difficulty comes in is that oftentimes when we go to do a social media strategy and we go to become more visible on social media, there are different fears that we may not even realize are fears that can come up and then get in our way and either keep us from executing the strategy, or we'll execute it but we're not executing it the right way or with the right kind of energy or motivation or confidence because of the fear. One of the most common fears is the fear of being visible, the fear that I'm going to, start popping up in all of these groups, and I'm on my page, I'm going to start making videos, and people are going to get angry, or people are going to think that I'm a fraud, or you might name some of the typical fears. And then from there, you could create an exercise around, what's your top fear when it comes to being visible on social media? Where did that fear come from? Where else does it show up in your life? On and on. That's a little bit more curriculum building than coaching, right? And then you can coach them. I don't know how your groups work. If, people share, whatever it is, then you can coach them from there. But that would be a way in a group call to take it from the strategy level to a deeper level. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you so much. Definitely. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Great question. All right. So we'll have time for more Q&A in a little bit, but I wanted to make sure that I get to one more piece on our call today. And it's around strategizing, and it's what I call the natural rhythms of strategizing. So no matter what it is that you're working on with your clients, whether it is an outer goal like business building or finding a new job, relationship, online dating, whatever it is, or it's an inner vision or inner goal that you're strategizing around, like working with their inner, calming down their inner critic, self-love, whatever it is, no matter what the end goal for the vision, when you're strategizing and when you're blueprinting, remember we spoke about blueprinting a couple of sessions ago, what is absolutely vital is to take your client's natural rhythm into consideration and to help your client get a good understanding of their natural rhythm. If you don't have a good understanding of your client's natural rhythm, and if your client doesn't have an understanding or knowledge of what their natural rhythm is, then when you strategize, you're going to create a strategy that doesn't work for them. And I'm going to explain the different types of rhythms. You'll understand more what I mean. This is about pacing. Okay, so for example, one of the natural rhythm archetypes, we can call them, is the consistent doer. So if you've got a client that's a consistent doer, this person, their pace is slow and steady. They like they don't stop doing, or yeah, obviously they take rests when they need to take rests, but it's more like they like to do a little bit every day or a little bit every week. Their activities are consistent. I'm a consistent doer. I'm a slow and steady person. So this is really important. Like when I go to strategize, when I go to blueprint, I have my goals, and then I don't do things where I have big bursts of activity because I'm a slow and steady person. So I set things out in my blueprint a little bit every day. Like if I have a retreat that I'm leading and I'm preparing curriculum for that retreat, so the strategy is not, 2 days back to back of curriculum doing, that's not my natural rhythm, that's not my pace. I'll do like an hour and a half once or twice a week for 4 weeks leading up to the retreat. So that's one type of natural rhythm. Another type, maybe your client's natural rhythm or pace is she's a doer with a lot, who needs a lot of breaks. So this is essentially someone who has big bursts of energy. They like to like do it. They like to go all out, all strong, like do something really intensively. But then, of course, they need more breaks. It's different than the consistent doer that can just kind of like slow and steady along. The person that is a doer, big bursts of energy, you want to, as you strategize and blueprint with them, they're maybe going to like do big things right away and then break, and then big things and then break, right? That's someone who maybe, I'll give an example with business coaching. Like the slow and steady person, when they first start their business, I'm not going to tell them to like go out and start doing outreach in the first 2 or 3 weeks and prepare. But like the big burst person, within that first month, they're doing outreach. They're like all out doing stuff, right? And we want to understand that rhythm so that we can strategize correctly for them. Another natural rhythm archetype is, I call it the deep thinker and processor. I have a lot of clients like this who their pacing is even slower than the slow and steady person. They really need time to let new ideas fully sink in, and it may take a couple of weeks before they can even take action on something because they're just deep analyzers. They're deep thinkers. They're deep processors. They need the time, right? It's so valuable that I honor, that I know this about my clients, that I help them know this about themselves and accept it for themselves, and that then we honor this and use this when we strategize. Because if I was going to set up a strategy that was slow and steady or big bursts of energy for the deep thinker and processor, it would be a recipe for failure for her and for self-judgment and for frustration, you know, all of that. But same thing for the big burst of energy person. If we were to set up a slow and steady strategy for the big burst of energy person, she would get bored really quickly. It wouldn't work for her. And then the fourth type of natural rhythm, I call it the tipping pointer. Their pace is like they're slow, and then boom, it all comes together, and then they can do a lot. So they're kind of like a version of the deep thinker or processor that once it gels, they're like going, almost as if they were the big burster, right? So, and there may be other types of natural rhythms. I'm giving you these four archetypes just for you to start to think about, you know, how does this play in with your clients and how you're helping them strategize? And, you know, I'll ask you for right now is, which one are you? Are you one of the four that I just mentioned, the slow and steady, consistent doer, or the big burst doer that then needs breaks? Are you a deep thinker and processor? Are you a tipping pointer? Or maybe you're something else. What are you, generally? And take a moment and just think on this. How have you maybe gotten into trouble? When I say gotten into trouble, like things, you know, strategy didn't work out the way you wanted or the execution because you either didn't know your natural rhythm or you didn't honor it when you were planning. What are you seeing here, star two? What are you either seeing for yourself or any cues, questions on this one? And I'd love to hear from at least one of you what you're seeing for yourself around your pacing from this conversation. Oh, great. There's some hands raised here. Who is this? 0684?
Hi, Joanna. It's Nicole.
Hi.
Hi. I think I recognize the consistent doer.
Mm.
And I get into trouble when, for instance, a business coach is trying. Well, I had once a business coach who was a big burst doer, and
mm-hmm.
she was so enthusiastic. And I'm not comfortable with big bursts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more like a steady thinker and a doer. And when I make a curriculum for a retreat, I love to work 1 or 2 hours, and that's it.
Yeah.
And the next day, again and again, and then I hear an idea, and I write it down. And it's my way of preparation, and I love my natural rhythm. And, I think I'm a consistent doer.
Yeah, I love what you brought forward because you just gave such a great example of why it's so important for coaches to be aware of this,
mm-hmm.
and also why
yeah.
it's so important for coaches to check their filters around their own natural rhythms. We
yeah,
see this
and
in the business coaching world a lot. There are a lot of big, you know, hell yeah, big burst of energy coaches, and they apply
yeah.
that way of that natural rhythm. They just assume that everyone should have that natural rhythm,
mm-hmm.
and then people aren't successful, their clients aren't successful or as successful as they could be because they're trying to live a rhythm that isn't there.
Yeah, and I think you said something very important just now that, for instance, I'm a consistent doer, but some of my clients are deep thinkers.
Yeah.
And it's again, the filter is very important because
yeah.
I can tend as well to think, well, maybe it can be a little more faster, more steady, but this deep thinker has a complete different rhythm. So
I think
I have to check my filters as a coach as well.
Yes, I would say for my clients that are deep thinkers, let's say they're planning an event, I will always suggest the event, like with people that are, you know, just as an example, that are steady, slow and steady, I say like the event can be 12 weeks out. If it's not a big massive event, like let's say a local event, whatever, let's start planning for 8 weeks out or 12 weeks out. But for my clients that are deep thinkers and processors, we're doing more like 15 weeks out or whatever it is, because I know that that's how they're going to be the most successful. Now, another part of the coaching work is helping them really embrace and love that this is who they are.
Yeah. And how do you deal? But I have a question, because I can deal with a deep thinker, but what do you do, for instance, when you're a consistent doer, like I am and you are as well, you told us, how to deal with a big burst doer, because they want to go more fast.
Yeah.
And sometimes as a coach, I sometimes find it difficult to go with the big burster, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I'm so with you on that. I had a great example of this yesterday. In fact, I was leading a group call, and one of my clients, who is a big burst doer, she had this great new idea. I want to do a local women's circle, and I'm going to do it once a month, you know, every month, and I'm going to start next month, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, this is... So it goes back to pacing, but also listening filters, right? So I was watching myself in my head, right? She's talking, and in my head, I'm going, oh, my gosh, this is too much. How is she ever going to do this? It's going to take so much work. You know, like it's so, right?
Yeah.
And but I recognized that that was a filter of mine, number one, because I'm a slow and steady. Number two, because I'm about 15 years older than her. And number three, because I have kids and she doesn't. And so what I said to her, you know, after she shared the idea was, I love this idea. I love the idea of you showing up locally consistently. I can see how this would be a great way for people to get to know you. And it might be that the once a month is exactly right for you. You know, I said, I'm an old lady and I don't have as much energy as you do. But I do want to check in, like check in with your body, because it does take work to do an event and bring new people in every month. Is that something that feels aligned for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And then she checked in and she said, you know, actually, and I said, you know, maybe it's every other month or maybe it's once a month. And she checked in and she said, actually, you know what? I only want to do it once a season. That feels really exciting to me, and I can make it longer. Right? And I didn't know how she was going to answer, and I wasn't going to lead her one way or the other, but I checked my filter. Because I do a little bit of consulting. I said, okay, this is what I'm thinking, but this is my filter, and so let's find what's true for you. And then we plan
around that. You make it explicitly. You tell explicitly what your filter is, and you question it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
With making it clear that she knows herself best, and that I'm going to honor whatever she feels is right for her.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Who is this? 8451.
Oh, that's me, Bev.
Hey, Bev.
Hi. So for this part, there was a couple things that I was taking, and one of them was to have it laid out in this way and to understand, okay, you know, probably no surprise, I'm a deep thinker and processor. But also, right, I mean, anyway,
I know you,
that,
I know you well, you are a deep thinker and processor, which I love.
Yeah, and to not try and be in judgment around not being a doer or that consistent doer or, you know, the tipping point, anything like that. It's like, oh, okay, that's who I am. And like, that's actually okay.
Yeah, it's more than okay. It's exactly perfect for you.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really nice to see them named in this way. And also, even as they were talking, I was thinking about lots of different clients of mine. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that one is this and that one is this. And actually, even without knowing it, I intuitively think about this with my clients, and I actually talk about it in the very first initial consultation. And this came from, like, you know, learning, just doing things the wrong way, I guess, which you always do in the beginning. But then I actually talk to them about pacing and about communication, and I ask them to, I open up communication. I'm like, you know, I want every plan to come up that we come up with to be, a, you know, something that's going to be challenging, but it also feels doable and exciting. And I ask them to let me know, and to because everybody is different, a different pace. And in the beginning, like, I'll get to know them in their pace, but to have that feedback. So it's just interesting to me that I was like, oh yeah, like that's what I'm talking about. And that's what we're moving through.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if there isn't that match and the plan is overwhelming or too much, or it's not enough, it's like they're left either really overwhelmed and, you know, in judgment or upset, you know, or they're just not, like, getting enough to chew on.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really nice to see this laid out so specifically and realize that, like, oh, yeah, that is in the process.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you can see that. And you're doing it intuitively already, and now that you actually, it's like brought more to your consciousness, you're going to be able to do it even more masterfully. And I think also help your clients accept where they are even more easily.
Yeah, yeah, so true, so true.
Awesome. There are other hands up. I'm going to get to them in a moment, but I want to just riff off of one thing that Viv just said because it's important and it's the next thing I wanted to share, and I think this is a good moment. Just to say that, you know, Viv was talking about, like, she wants it to feel exciting, doable and exciting. What I just wanted to kind of slip in for everyone is when I'm strategizing with clients, one question I ask them, and this relates to the natural rhythms too, because if you're off and you're strategizing with the rhythms, it's not going to feel good, right? But so one question I always like to ask is, how do you want to feel as you accomplish this goal? Not only when you accomplish this goal, but how do you want to feel on the journey, right? As you accomplish it. The result is obviously what we're going for, that end result. The result is so important, but so is the journey. And if your client can identify how they want to feel as they execute, and then you can create a strategy that helps them feel however they want to feel, then guess what? It's going to be that much easier and that much quicker to get to the result. So you want to be thinking about, you know, help the client think about, how do you want to feel as you're accomplishing this? Adina.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Well, my question is actually related to what you just mentioned as well about how a client wants to feel. The question is whether you worked with clients who have a natural rhythm archetype that, you know, is clearly identifiable and that they are aware of and that really want to actually shift that. You know, for example, you know, a big burst of energy type of person who's kind of exhausted by that pattern and wants to move more towards the slow and steady, and if that ever comes into the
system. I'm so glad you're bringing this up. So if, for like, to use the example that you used, if you've got a big burst of energy person that's exhausted, then that's actually not what their natural rhythm is. They're working off of a should there and a belief or expectation of where they should be, as opposed to working where they're at, which will be even more optimal for them to work where they're at. So, but just because of modern society and how we work and fast-paced and everything, like, somehow even those of us that know better are, you know, unconsciously trained to think that the big bursts are the best, that the big, 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 more is the best. But that's not all. For some people, that is the case. Like, I do know some people who really, that's their energy. It's like almost as if they're on adrenaline all the time, but they're not. It's just naturally who they are. I love those people. They're amazing, but it's not optimal for any other If you've got any other archetype when it comes to natural rhythms, it's actually not optimal for you to try to do the big bursts.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's any such thing as I'm this, but I want to move to that, unless there's some kind of limiting belief going on or where they're at isn't aligned for them. Does that make sense?
It does, but, you know, I'm just thinking of people, and I recognize myself in this too, of almost kind of being so stuck in that rhythm of the big birth, and almost like, and there's almost an addictive element of it,
yeah.
You know? And,
yeah.
And so I get that it's like, okay, at the core, that's not really you, and that's not really optimal, but when it's so programmed, I mean,
yes.
As you're saying,
yes.
how do you guide someone towards the
yes.
optimal?
So when you're in the middle of that, I know it feels good, and probably part of why it feels good is because of the adrenaline, but if there was also a belief that you were operating under, what would that belief be?
Hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of two beliefs, right? There's one of a belief of needing to accomplish really big things, and then there's some aspect of being sort of immobilized in actually working towards those things in a slow and steady way. So, you know, it's sort of like you get a big burst of energy somehow. It's like, okay, I have to do this now, all in, all, you know, really mm-hmm. quickly, because I'm not going to be able to sustain it. So it's complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. As you're getting deeper into it, one question that I have is it that the big burst isn't right for you, or is it that it actually is right for you? Like, inspiration hits, you get really excited, you have the energy, but you're not taking the rest afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me, because I'm not there with you, is it that slow and steady would actually be more your rhythm, or is it that the exhaustion is coming because you're doing the big burst, but any kind of activity needs some kind of rest afterwards, especially big burst activity. So, or something else, you tell me what's going on for you there.
Well, I mean, first of all, I should say this is really sort of more past tense for me, because I think that is how I operated for a very, very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
It was the big burst and not taking the rest, and so
yeah.
not having the recharge to then, you know, the next big burst would come, and it wouldn't be from a place of, like, clarity and intuition, because,
yeah.
you know, it was just purely on adrenaline.
Yeah.
And so I have been, I mean, this is very much, you know, this question is very much coming from personal experience of, in the last several years, like, really going through a process of sort of reining all that in and slowing
mm-hmm.
down.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's finding, I think, the medium, you know, between those where you're still working off of and harnessing that excitement and energy, you know, but doing it in a way that's not, like, you know, manic and exhausting and not resisting.
Yeah, so it sounds like where you're at, tell me, I may not be getting this right, so tell me. It sounds like where you're at is, like, you're not in the manic place anymore, but you haven't yet found the sweet spot of being able to, like, go with the inspiration and when the energy is there. Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. And
I think
part of it is that having operated that way for so long and really, like,
yeah.
like, driven myself into the ground operating that way, I'm sort of
yes.
hard to even, like...
Yeah, yeah,
know,
yeah. Okay, so good. Okay, good. So it's becoming more clear now. So let's just see if we can take it a step further. has there been a time in the last couple of years where you've done it in a way that's felt really good, where it hasn't been the manic, but you've been able to ride the wave?
Yeah.
So just tell us briefly, tell us briefly what happened there, like what you did that allowed for that to happen. Like how did that play out?
So this is actually a really good example, I think, of the just like the seasonal cycles that you've talked about before. So I've been working on a book project for the last like over 3 years. And it was something that at the very beginning, I did have that kind of, you know, slightly manic, like, energy about. And I worked on it really intensely for several months. And then it was sort of, that was over a winter, like 4 winters ago. And then I sort of let it be dormant over, you know, over like that summer. And then I picked it up again very heavily the following winter. And I've basically been on that rhythm, like, for the last 6 months.
Yeah, that feels like a really healthy big burst and then rest and big burst and rest. So what I'd say is, you know, again, we don't have time for like a full, you know, one-on-one here, but I think that's they're the clues for you. I'd unpack that a little bit more and see how that could play out in different projects that you're working on, right? And the big bursts, like for the book, it feels more like seasonal. It might be shorter cycles for other projects that you're working on, but I'd play around with that, you know, because you've got that experience in a healthy way. That makes sense?
Yeah, totally. That's really helpful.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And who is this? 1155.
Hello, Joanna. It's me again, Ruth.
Hey, Ruth. I thought that was you.
Yeah. So it's I'm just wondering, like, when you have a group of people where you've got like the what's it called now? The slow and steady people, and then you've also got the people that just want to like just go out and just do everything, and like, how do you manage that? Because, like, what I've got in my current groups is I've got both sets of people, and the people who are really going out and really making it happen, they're posting all their wins in the group Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And the people who are, like, slow and steady, they feel like, you know, they're feeling kind of, like, left out that, you know, this person's getting all these wins, and why am I, you know, like, why is it taking me so long to I get it? You know?
So,
how do you manage that?
Yeah. So that can happen in groups, like what you're describing can absolutely happen. And so there's a couple things that you as the coach and the leader want to do. Number one, you want to share about these different rhythms and how one isn't better than the other. And it might be a great exercise, like what I just took all of you through, it might be a great exercise to do in your group so everybody can identify where they're at and then help them see, like, why that's a power rhythm for them, you know, and so that they can really – so that's number one. And then number two – going back to our creating awareness skills and our celebrating skills, it's way easier for people to celebrate, like, the big wins. You know, I did this, that, and the other thing, new client, blah, 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 which is what your big doers are doing. But as we looked at in creating awareness, there's celebrating isn't only relegated to those types of celebrations. And whenever I work one-on-one or with groups, I'm really clear on, you know, there's some celebrations that are really big or outer, but then there are also inner celebrations as well. Starting to, for example, I haven't yet done this, but I'm starting to feel more confident and I'm ready to. Or, you know, you know, celebrating the small wins too, right? Of like, I did outreach to 10 people today. So it's not only I would really continuously encourage all of them to share celebrations like every week or whatever it is. And I would say big or small, inner or outer, they're all important and they all count.
Yes.
And, you know, as we looked at in our creating awareness module, when people can celebrate what they're doing, that's actually what helps them achieve more, because then they're moving from a place of strength as opposed to a place of weakness. So, and especially with groups, because there is so much comparison, it's really...
That's really, really helpful. Thank you so much, Joanna.
Yeah, you're very welcome. All right, well, we're just about at time. I wanted to tell you your homework for this week. You've got a worksheet that will be in your member center on both the values piece and the natural rhythms piece, ways for you to go deeper both for yourself on this, as well as some homework around applying these concepts to your client roster, if you're working with clients or to your partner. So I would definitely check out that worksheet. And then if you're doing partner work, first thing, just want to remind you, you only need 18 partner sessions if you're going for certification. So if you feel like you've already done a lot of the visioning, you can either skip this week or continue to practice the visioning and the strategizing. And the way that I would continue to practice is to go deeper, take what we learned about natural rhythms today, about values today, or maybe experiment with a visualization or with the four different levels of transformation to get deeper into some visioning and strategizing. Next week, we're going to start our questioning module. Any questions before we wrap for today? Let me get our hands lowered here. Star 2, anything that I can answer for anyone before we wrap? All right. Looks like we're complete. Thanks so much, everyone. Would love to hear any takeaways in the Facebook group. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.